you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasures you found.
Thank you, Lauren. Once again, good morning and welcome to the service today. We certainly are glad that you are here. We missed you last week. We were 9 hours away when you were getting up last Sunday morning, and I'd already preached. 9 hours ahead in Romania. What a wonderful time we had worshiping with Romanian believers last Sunday morning. And then on Wednesday evening in the city of Athens, preaching to refugees fleeing persecution. And what a wonderful time we had with Brother Demakos, a missionary that this church has supported for over 30 years, hoping to reach his own people, the Greek people, and with very little progress for a number of years. Actually, he preached to Jews first and then to the Greek and then to the Persians. And now what wonderful things are happening there in the city of Athens. Last Wednesday evening, we got to view 15 converts following the Lord in scriptural baptism. It was the 69th consecutive week that the ministry there baptized. If they baptize this Sunday, it will be 70 weeks that they have had converts go through the baptismal water. So wonderful things are happening, and to God be the glory, great and wonderful things. If we seem a little punchy, we are. When you were getting ready to have your evening meal about 4:30 on Thursday afternoon, we were rising. It was 1:30 in the morning, Athens time, early Friday morning. For the next 31 hours consecutive, we would be traveling and waiting in airports and that kind of thing. Four airports in 31 hours, a lot of layovers, a lot of travel. You can say, how can you, and actually that was all done in the period of one day. We left on the 27th, returned on the 27th. You say, what is the key? You get up early enough. And you have 9 hours between you. And you can rack up 31 hours of travel real quickly. And so came back exhausted, but just full of the blessings of Almighty God. I had the privilege, after preaching on Wednesday evening, I was invited to stay. They told any of the people there who wanted to hear more about the gospel to stay. Brother Demakos took them lovingly, spoke to them for about 2 hours, and then invited them to receive Christ. Three men asked Jesus into their heart. I got to lead them in the sinner's prayer. What a blessing. What a blessing. And a bigger blessing than that was the reality that three men who had been saved the Wednesday before, brought these three precious ones to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Telling others. And so the title of my message, and I decided what this would be before I left, the title of my message this morning is A Good Servant. A Good Servant. What does it mean to be a good servant? I want you to stand with me, if you would please, and turn in the New Testament, if you would, to the book of Titus, chapter number 2, and we are going to read just a couple of verses. Titus chapter number 2, I'll begin to read in verse number 7. Follow along with me, if you would please, as we read from the Scripture. If you do not have a copy of God's Word, you'll find one under the seat in front of you. You're welcome to use that while you're here. Look in verse number 7. Paul is writing to Titus, and he says, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, as we continue in an attitude of worship today, Lord, we pray, dear God, that we would worship your word. Dear God, that we would listen to everything that you have to say in the message. Dear God, that we would understand and that we would respond accordingly. Lord, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice this morning who does not know Jesus as Lord, their Lord and Savior, I pray, dear God, that they would do what those three precious Persian gentlemen did Wednesday night and invite Jesus into their heart. Dear God, help us today. Speak to the lost. Speak to the saved that they might be reminded of their responsibility to do the things that you would have them to do to your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much. And be seated if you would please. Paul is addressing a disciple by the name of Titus. The Apostle Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, went to the island of Cyprus, and he led a young man to the Lord by the name of Titus. And he is writing him at this point, and he is encouraging him to be a challenge to all those that are under his ministry. And so he, along with me this morning, I want to encourage you to be that good servant that God has called you to be. The first thing that I want you to see from the scripture this morning is that a good servant will set a good example in works. We find that in verse number 7. And I'll say that again. A good servant will set a good example in works. Now, we all know, according to the scripture, that we're not saved by works. The Bible tells us that we're not saved by works, but by the grace of Almighty God. And so the reality is, if works could save us, then one day we would stand in the presence of Jesus Christ, and we would brag and boast about what we had done and tell him how lucky he is to have us as a child of God. But the reality is, we'll never do that, because works cannot and will not ever save anybody. It never has, and it never will. But there's two sides to the coin here, and we need to look at it this morning. We have to understand that the scripture also tells us that a born-again believer will have good works. The reality is, if we're born again of the Spirit of God, we can't help but have good works. They are going to come out. And so that is the reality today. We have, as a Christian, as a believer, good works, not in order to go to heaven, but because we are going to heaven, and the Lord requires us that we set a good example in works. So look at it, if you would please, there. He says, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works." What is a pattern? A pattern is an outline. A pattern is a guide. A pattern is an example. And so today we are being charged with the responsibility as a believer to have good works. Now, over the previous 10 days from the 18th of July through the 27th, those of us who traveled to Romania, there were 6 from this church. There were a total of 22 team members that came together to work for a common goal from different parts of the country. There were 6 here from Albuquerque. There were 11 who came from Snyder, Texas. There were 3 people who came from the area of Dallas-Fort Worth. There was a young lady who came from Virginia, another one from Wilmington, Delaware, and then 2 people who were the people who carried us around the whole time we were there. The thousands of miles that we traveled over 7,000 miles on Friday alone. And so we've racked up frequent flyer miles over the last 10 days. But we got to see the hand of God move upon individuals from different parts of the country to minister for a particular cause. Now, a couple of the members from our team have a medical background, so they dealt with the medical clinic, and then we had different people who dealt with the dental aspect of it, and then we had people who dealt with, we had a group of people that gave out shoes to little children that did not have shoes in the area of Romania. We ministered to gypsy people there in the area of Assad, first of all, and then later in the area of Tinka, and two different churches. The pastor whose authority we were under while we were there, Brother George, pastors four churches. I got to see three of the works that he pastors, did not have time to see the fourth, but a great man of God doing great things in that area with the efforts of MANA Worldwide as they provide the feeding centers and those various things. And I believe three of the four churches, if not all four of them, have feeding centers. Ours is located in Tinka. Our church is responsible for feeding 125 children once a day, 5 days a week. And so we, along with two other sister churches, had that responsibility. And so we provide those funds. And they go, believe me, for a worthy cause. We're seeing great and wonderful things happening on the mission field. But to get back to the point that God brought 22 individuals together who did not necessarily know each other and gelled us together for a common goal and for a common purpose. We were setting an example in works. Each person having a responsibility, each person doing various aspects of the work, some dental, some medical, some working with the shoe program, some working with teaching Bible lessons and that type of thing. And all this stuff was happening simultaneously. My wife and Laquita were involved in the aspect of after the adults came through the medical center, they were allowed to pick out a pair of reading glasses, try those on. And so my wife and Laquita were involved in that. Sandy Powell, with another lady in the ministry, was of another aspect of the groups that came together. We're giving out scarves to that were sent by ladies. Money was raised to give a scarf to each of the ladies that was ministered to. And so there was all these different things that were going on at the same time. We had a person with an interpreter outside the building who was registering people as they came in so we could get as much information as possible on the people and then feeding them through the process. And so a lot of different things happening at the same time. When we were done with all the areas of ministry that we were involved with on that first day, then the adults were sent home and the children were left so that they could eat a meal there in the feeding center. And that would be the meal that they would eat that particular day. And so great work going on there. And so lots of things happening. It was great to see the body of Christ coming together to show good works in the name of Jesus Christ. And it was very clear to the Romanian people. They were told over and over again why we were there. We were coming to be the hands, the feet of Jesus Christ, giving them a meal in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, witnessing to them the best we could and those types of things. I had the responsibility that first day of going around and taking photographs. We'll put together a collection of those that we'll show on the 15th of the month of August. We'll have a special service to do that to show you the work that was going on there in the various areas where we ministered. And so great and wonderful things happening. We handed out gift baskets to four different families in the city of Tinka, went to homes and gave water filtration systems to these families so that they could have clean drinking water. Many of the homes did not have plumbing. Most of the homes did not have electricity. Most of the homes were not even a fourth the size of this platform here this morning. Many of them with people living in a home, sometimes with only one bed, six people living in the home, They told us, be careful, do not touch the walls. Do not make contact when you get inside the home because of the lice, because of the ticks. They did not want us to go home sick. Great poverty we saw. Laquita and I were the last to enter the village of Tinko. She wanted to take a picture of the trash outside of the entry of the city. And we turned and we looked. And I said, this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, inasmuch as you do it to one of these, the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. You'll never give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name and ever lose your reward. It was great and wonderful to see a collection of people come together who did not know each other before, but now we know each other pretty well after spending time together. Teenagers, middle-aged, older folks coming together for a particular cause, trying to set a good example in works. If you could see the appreciation of the faces of the people as we ministered to them. Trying to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. You see, the gypsy people were an unwanted people everywhere. I knew that from growing up here in America. My family having some dealings with, back in the 60s, with a band of gypsies. But I didn't know it was worldwide, but it is. They are hated everywhere. Brother George kept saying over and over again, it's our time. It's our time. I left there that morning, last Sunday morning, with a clock that he gave me. It's set on Romanian time so that I can be reminded when I look at that clock what time it is in Romania. And I can remember that in Romania it's their time for the gospel. And they are embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you could see the smiles on their faces, the appreciation that they have, the faces of the little children, as we would get off the bus and they would embrace us, they would come running. And the word would go out throughout the village that the Americans were there and they began to come. And we only had a certain allotted time that we could be there, and my heart broke as we reached capacity. And then we had to say, we can't take any more. And I think about America, where you have to bribe people to come to church. It's a real eye-opener. And I've been on the mission field before. And the need is always the same. It's Jesus what they need. This world needs to see Christians setting an example in good works. Whatever your area of ministry, do it as unto the Lord. Do it for Him. And you'll never regret it. Do it for Jesus. A good servant will set a good example in works. I've been around church and ministry for many, many years, 50 plus. And I'm going to tell you, you can never do too much for God. You never will. You might come to a point and place in your life when you feel like you've done enough and it's somebody else's turn. But I'm telling you, you can never do too much. We need to set a good example in works. And so as Paul writes to Titus, he said, be sure to tell the people, be involved in good works to the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number two, a good servant will set a good example in doctrine. Verse number seven, look at it if you would please, the latter part of the verse. We'll read verse number seven again. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Now, I can take you down the normal road of doctrine, but I'm not going to do that today, because I want you to see another area of doctrine. Doctrine isn't just the teachings of the Word of God, and there's no, and I'm not trying to minimize that, but I'm trying to personalize it this morning. I'm trying to put it in a practical sense. The doctrines of the Bible are essential. Absolutely imperative. But I want you to see another aspect. Look at it here, verse number two. Let's look at verse number one, first of all. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patient. Verse 3, the aged women like also that they be in behavior as becoming, but becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. What is Paul talking about? Paul, as he speaks to Titus, I believe here in chapter number 2, as he writes this epistle, this chapter, he's telling the people of Crete, live your doctrine. You see what I'm saying about being practical? Live your doctrine. What good is doctrine if we don't live it? If we don't allow it to work out? It's in us. Work it out. That way people can see your good works. Live your doctrine. And he gives the instructions here on how to do that. He addresses the older men. He addresses the older ladies, the younger ladies, the younger men. He tells them how to do it. Work it out that other people will see that good example, that they will see it in your life. Because the reality is, the world doesn't care about your doctrine. They're not interested. They're not going to read the scripture. They won't. But they will read you. And you represent Jesus. And so in a practical sense, we must live our doctrine before men. before women, before boys, and before girls. And I'm telling you, people know when you love them. I can walk up to a Romanian kid, an Athenian, a Persian, and they're not going to be around you but a minute, and they're going to know if you love them or not. Just a smile. As I got off the bus in Tinka or in Assad, I got off and I shook the hands of those little boys and girls. And I said, hello. And they responded, hello. Their eyes were bright. They were glad we were there. Some of them tried to speak some English and they couldn't. We couldn't understand much of what the other person was saying, but something they understood was the hug. They understand the hug. They get it. And Paul tells Titus, you tell those people to live their doctrine. And when we are living our doctrine, people are going to see it. People are going to be drawn to it. They are going to embrace it. Most people who get saved because they're going through some crisis in their life, some transition in their life that is out of the ordinary. That is why I believe that George Dimakos is able to reach so many Iranian men, is because they're separated from their families, many of them. They're fleeing the country. They're leaving on their own. They're seeking freedom. And then they send for their family once they get established. They're lonely. They don't know what lies ahead of them. And George is able to take the gospel, is able to show them kindness, and they are drawn to the gospel. It works. It works. It works in Athens. It works in Romania. And it will work here. We have to understand, we need to set a good example, church, in works. We need to set a good example in our doctrine, not only by saying, I stand on this, and thank God you do, but at the same time, living your doctrine. Living what God tells us to do. Being that available servant. We need to be, thirdly, we need to be a good servant in our example of our speech. The example of our speech. It was early Wednesday morning. We're leaving Budapest. We're going to fly to Bucharest and then on to Athens. It's going to be a full day of travel. It's very early in the morning. We're standing in the security line, and I see a young man in front of me. Seems to be struggling a little bit. And I said, hello. And smiled. He looked back at me. He said, hello. I didn't know. I thought he was Hungarian, but he wasn't. We got through the line. We got to talking a little bit, and he told me that he was an American. He was born in Alabama and raised in Colorado, and so we had mutual interest, and we started talking a little bit. We got through the line, finally through security, and he had spotted some of our team, and I didn't know he was a missionary also. Did not know that. God sent me to Bucharest to hear words of encouragement that I needed to hear. We got through security, and he told me, I want you to know something. I see the kindness in you. I see Jesus in you. we need to be a good example in speech. And I told him, I said, well, I said, I've been where you are, young man. Nearly 50 years ago, I lived in Germany. And I knew what it meant to find an American, somebody who could speak your language. God sends people. He'll send you halfway around the world to hear things you need to hear. We need to be a good example in speech. Speech in loving one another, encouraging one another, building each other up in love and esteem. A good servant will set a good example in speech. There's one last thing I want to share with you this morning. A good servant will hear these words. Go with me, if you would please, to Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 21. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 21. You know the story. Jesus is sharing the story of the talents. Notice what Jesus said. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want you to hear those words someday. When we stand before the Lord, and we all will, as children of God, and our works will be tried by fire. That's what Paul taught. We will all give an account. And I want this church to hear these words that Jesus said. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I can't answer that question for you. Only you can do that yourself. Every Christian in this room has a responsibility to serve the Lord as a good example in works. A good example in living out our doctrine in a practical way before a lost world, and a good example in speech. We need to produce fruit. Jesus put us here for the purpose of producing fruit. You see the empty chairs this morning? Jesus wants those to be filled. Men and women, boys and girls, I want you to hear those words. Enter thou into the joy which I have prepared for you. We're all going to be there. If you're not saved this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come to the Savior this morning. And I want to share with you just real quickly how you can do that. There's three things you need to do. First of all, you need to acknowledge before a holy God that you are a sinner. Acknowledge or admit to Him what He already knows, but He needs to hear it from your lips. Admit or acknowledge that you are a lost sinner who cannot save yourself. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot earn your way to heaven. It is a free gift of salvation. Secondly, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe that He is the one who can save you when no one else can. because he is the only one who went to the cross. He is the only one who died in your place so that you can have eternal life. And he wants you to be born again to the Spirit of God. So first of all, acknowledge that you're a sinner. Number two, believe that Jesus can save you from your sins. And number three, confess. Confess to him that you want him to come into your heart, and he will do it. He wants to do it today. Confess him as Lord. Acknowledge that you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself. Believe in him. Paul wrote that we couldn't save ourselves, that Jesus is our only hope. But if we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved. And then just simply confess him as Lord. Invite him into your heart today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, help us today. Lord, we will all stand one of these days in judgment, either at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ as believers, or we'll stand in judgment at the great white throne of judgment. And hear these words, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Father, help us today. Please work in the hearts of lives of individuals today. I'm wondering if there's anybody here this morning that would just pray this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge to you today that I am a sinner in need of salvation. I know that I cannot save myself. Heavenly Father, I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sins, and that if I will ask him, he will come into my heart, forgive me my sins, and save my soul. So based on those realities, this morning I am confessing him as Lord and Savior. I am confessing him as the one who saves my soul. If there's anybody like that today, I hope that you'll come to this altar this morning. Maybe you'll share that with us. Maybe you'll let us know that you've made that decision this morning, that you've acknowledged the fact that you are a sinner, and you'll believe in your heart that only Jesus can save you, and you'll confess your sin to him, no one else, but confess your sin to Jesus Christ this morning and invite him into your heart. If you'll do that, Jesus will save you. I'd like everybody to stand, if you would please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Nobody looking around today. And as the Spirit of God moves across this service today, whatever your need is, I pray that you'll come to this altar this morning and confess it to Jesus Christ. Maybe there's somebody here today who needs a church home. Maybe there's somebody here today who's in need of discipleship. Maybe there's somebody here today who's saved and needs to be scripturally baptized. Whatever their need is, I pray that they'll come today in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.